There you go. Do you count them down in your head? Good morning, everyone. It's a bit chilly outside, sign of winter, but a beautiful morning at the moment with the sun shining, although I gather there's going to be rain later in the day. But you know, I love the sunshine as equally as I love the rain. Both are an amazing gift from God. Psalm 27. Says this, I won't read the whole psalm. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom or what shall we fear? The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. Of whom or what shall we be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek the Lord in his temple. For in the day of trouble, the Lord will keep us safe in his dwelling. He will hide us in the shelter of his sacred tent and set us high upon a rock. I'm not sure how many times I've read that psalm before, but when I was looking at it this morning, I noticed something in the verses I just read, that four times the psalmist refers to the place where the Lord dwells. In this version, the house of the Lord, a temple, a dwelling, and a sacred tent. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, in two places, tells us that we collectively, the church collectively, the universal church collectively, is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And we individually also are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. The house of the Lord is your body and mine. The temple, the same. The dwelling, the same. And the sacred tent, the same. Your body and my body, the bodies of those people, particularly of faith, is a temple and a holy place. Let's stand and sing together, proclaiming salvation belongs to our God.
Praise and glory, praise.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you that our life, our salvation, our hope comes from you and is a gift from you. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. Help us to be open to you, Lord. Help us to hear from you, see you, touch you, be touched by you. Refreshed, strengthened, whatever is going on in our lives, Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and all that you've given us in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Forget we got coffee and tea this after we finish the service today.
Morning.
For those on you online, you're probably enjoying a coffee right now. Maybe that's something we should bring. Hey, look, for those of you watching online, you are actually getting a recorded vision. So somewhere in the ether, one of the satellites have stopped broadcasting. So we're not doing live at the moment, but we'll upload it during the week. So there you go. Technology is a wonderful thing when it works. Yes, we all know that. Hey, look, so Friday Friends went really well on Coffee and Chat on last Friday. So again, last Friday of every month, we try and do a community-wide come along for coffee, tea, 10 to 11:30. Percolated coffee, pod coffee. We're going to try and experiment with some other types of coffee as well. I've suggested coffee and whiskey might take off, but... All right. So, next week is Holy Communion. Wear something red. Okay? Holy Communion, Pentecost. Wear something red. And next week we've got two guest speakers as well. Ian Painter is going to share some reflections on life, the universe and everything. And I've managed at great expense to the church budget to get Eddie the Echidna all the way from Queensland to come and visit. So that'll be great. And one other thing, Cherry Hines, if you go into Coorong and you need some company, Cherry would love to be a support person. And so she's looking to get to Coorong sometime. Now, the other thing I need to say is yesterday, my son and his wife, Micah and Amelia, had a gender reveal party. Not sure if you've ever been to one of those, but I'm going to give you an experience of it. Okay, put your hands up if you think they've got a boy or going to have a boy. Put your hands up if you think they're going to have a girl. No, there's only one in there, not twins. I'm going to give you an experience of what it felt like. So I'm going to get you to shut your eyes, and when I, and that's online as well, shut your eyes, and when I say open them, then you'll know. All right, shut your eyes, quick. Shutting, keep them closed. Okay, open. it's a boy. Hey. So there you go. All right, kids, let's come down the front. Let's do some stuff for children's talk. And we've been talking, for those who haven't been caught up for a bit, we've been talking about the good news, haven't we? And Sam, what is good news? Good news is not
bad.
Good news is not bad. That's one of the things we're remembering. And last week we had Eddie the Echidna come along. And I was thinking, yeah, mate, do you need a hand? It's a great thing. And I'm thinking, you know, by the time I buy a fishing rod, get a jet ski, and go down to the lake and wait around to rescue people or say, hey, what am I going to do for my life? So I came up with a great thing. How do we know people need good news? I've got my good life, good news bag. You can take this with you wherever you go. So when you meet people, you can think, I know, I'll see if they need a hand. And this is one thing. So I've invented these good news glasses. So when you put them on, you can see immediately if people need the good news. Are you ready? Look at this. You put that on, and you can immediately tell. Do you want to try them on? Who wants to try them on? Come on, Gabby. Try them on. Come on, Jaden. Stand up and try them on. Oh, there you go. It's very good. All right. So after that, if you're not sure, you can then try the second thing. What you can do is you can try this. You can give them one of these things, and you can get them to do it 10 times. If they can't, okay, Sam, jump up. 10 times. And if they can't do it 10 times, they need some good news. Hold it. Okay, bicep curl, one, like your dad does every morning. Oh, you're all right. You don't need any good news today. Well done. All right, this is my final one. If you're not sure if people need good news, this is what you do. This is for you, Gab. Come on. You ready? You can put this on them.
Nice.
You can put these on them. And you can see.
That's a Gabby hat.
All right, I'll stick that on myself. And so, look, you're all set. And I'm going to sell these at a budget price of $50. So you can pick that. Maybe a small business entrepreneurial enterprise we can do at the Vines. Good news packs. What do you think? Okay, maybe not. Maybe it's just that. So one of the things we're trying to think about how we help people discover the good news. I better take this glass off. The good news. So one of the things we're thinking about, and next week we've got Eddie, the Echidna's going to come and help us think about good news. He's going to tell his story of what it felt like to have someone give him a hand. All right, so let me say a short prayer as we keep thinking about caring for others. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you ask us to love other people. And today we continue to think about the good news and how we can share your love in simple ways with other people. We thank you for these young people and for our lives that we have to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, David. Thanks, guys. Good job.
It's a bit hard to follow an actor like that. We're going to sing a song for our offering, and you know David's talk about the good news. This song we're going to sing, some of you will know, maybe all of you will know it, contains pretty much the whole of the good news. So maybe we could stand up. Sure.
The King of glory comes, the nations rejoice. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. Who is the King of glory? How shall we name? He is Emmanuel, the promised of ages. The King of glory comes, the nations rejoice. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. All of Galilee and city of village, he goes among his people curing their illness. The King of glory comes, the nations rejoice. Open the gates before him, lift up your voice. Sing then of David's son, our Savior and salvation. He took upon himself the sins of a nation. The King of glory comes, the nations rejoice. Open the gates before him, lift up your voice. We come and see him, that he truly has risen, and he will share with us his heavenly vision. The King of glory comes, the nations rejoice. Open the gates before him, lift up.
Hope you're rejoicing. Father, thank you that we can rejoice in you, that we can serve you, love you, know you. Thank you that you've given so much to us through your Son Jesus. And Lord, we bring to you now our offerings, those that Margaret is holding and those that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that you would help us to use what we bring wisely to the glory of your kingdom. Amen. Please take your seats.
Would you share these prayers? O God, giver of all good gifts, provider of the Spirit, endow us with your love, we pray, that we might love the unlovable. And with your joy, that we might reassure the discouraged. Grant us your peace, that we might soothe the embattled, and your endurance, that we might carry the troubled. Bless us with your gentleness, that we might tame the wild, and your humility, that we might subdue the proud. Send your patience that we might calm the angry, and with your faith that we might trust the unknown. So, dear God, we come seeking that by your touch, your sustenance, your empowerment, we might be people who leave this world, our world, your world, a better place. We are so often left in bewilderment as the news of the world reaches us. Our hearts and our prayers race to the people of Ukraine, to older ones, children, mothers, medics, and so many others. And we feel the deep tragedy of it, O God. How can this be? Soon the picture in our minds moves to the sin of the world, heartlessness, and the contrast to our Saviour's call to love one another. We find ourselves weeping with parents outside a Texan school and in other places in America. We have difficulties with arguments from certain lobbies, and Lord, we know deep down there are very many troubled souls who need help, whose hands should never, never touch the products of the armament trade. O God, we pray in this sad time in America and the world for your love to prevail. O God, the pictures come to us of the poor, the hungry, those needing medical help, those lacking constitutional rights, women and men treated as slaves, the scourge of the epidemic. O Lord God, our list can go on. And you call us to be mindful all of those people who have been affected. And we know you call us to do what we can. We know that it is often so difficult to care for those far away. However, we pray that we might not become so absorbed with the big picture that we fail to see, as it were, the bigger at our own door. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our minds to the needy around us, to the neighbour's tears, to the one who needs a friend, to the one too proud to ask, but who could do with some help. So we bring our prayers for others and our prayers for ourselves. Endow us with your gifts, O God. Teach us your truths, O Lord. Make us your people, O Creator of all. And now we share together in that prayer that the Lord taught his followers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 15, Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forgiven by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. The conversion of Lydia. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I found myself wondering when Paul went down to the river that Sabbath day what the women were actually doing. And I came to the conclusion they were probably washing clothing, bedding, and that sort of thing. I don't know whether you've ever seen images of women at rivers washing clothes and so on, but in the midst of whatever they were doing, Paul preached the good news to them.
So part of our series has been on reaching out, and it's a little bit on reaching out with God's love, with good news. And Jackie's going to come and share a little bit of good news.
I am indeed. I'd just like to say a really big thank you to everybody that attended our biggest morning tea or contributed a plate that we all enjoyed together. So on the 19th of May, we held that function here in the foyer. It was well attended. And I have great pleasure in announcing that I've just banked to Cancer Council of SA $1,000. So thank you very much.
Good job.
It's wonderful to be able to be generous to others. So that's a great job for all. It was sensational. And I wasn't sure if it was a late breakfast, early lunch, or a bit of both. But it was sensational. It was a wonderful opportunity to get together. So let's pause. Lord Jesus, as we continue our journey of life, being shaped by each new week, sometimes really not sure what's going to happen, and other times just feeling like it's same-o, same-o. We know that you and your presence goes with us into the week, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, all right, we've been reaching out. Week six, and the theme is shaken by the core. I'm going to have a bit of dramas here today with my little stand I can see. But that's all right, because I'm a sort of plan A, B, C, D guy. So I'm used to going with these things. So the book of Acts follows on from the Gospel of Luke. So Luke is a physician, and he wrote a story to Theophilus, or a narrative about the life of Jesus. That's the Gospel of Luke. And then he writes the book of Acts, which is really a comprehensive covering of the early church history, which is really vital, because here's someone who has an eyewitness account talking about what happened. I mean, what happened to these Christians, these disciples, after Jesus was crucified and rose again? What happened to the church? How did it come into being? And so here, one of the characters we follow is Paul. Now, Paul was one of these guys who had a real clear picture about what life should be like. And when he was a Pharisee, before his conversion, he was really focused on what he needed to do. And his plan was to go to all the different synagogues throughout the different areas and to take the Christians and put them in jail in Jerusalem. When he had a conversion experience and met this Jesus through a vision and he was blinded, he was transformed. And in his transformation, he wanted to share the good news with other people. And in the reading, you'll notice, the aim was to go about sharing the good news of who Jesus was, what Jesus was about. And there was a part of a plan he had. He had a real clear idea. Like, he had this vision, and Macedonia was a place that he was called to visit. The next slide we have is an actual copy of where Paul went. Now, Chris, you did very well. When you're reading these names, you just got to commit. You can't think of it, you just commit. And you did a beautiful job. So Macedonia is on the left-hand side, all right? Paul starts over at Jerusalem, bottom right-hand side. And so you can see he, little arrows, goes up to Antioch and then just makes his way across. Now, the aim was to go to Macedonia. That was his plan. He had a vision. A man in his vision says, "Hey, mate, we need a hand." So Paul and a couple of these other disciples go across there, or try to. And what we're told is that for all their good efforts, they couldn't get there. It was like God had shut all the doors. The Holy Spirit said, "Well, actually, I know you want to go there, but actually we've got something different happening." And that's, I don't know, how many times do you feel like your life is, you want to go this way, and you end up going this way? I mean, how many times do you experience life as your best-made plans of mice and woman? You know, how many times does it change? Put your hands up if that has been an experience you've had sometime in your life. Look, we all do. And 2,000 years ago, Paul had the same sort of experience. Had this great plan, great plan, great plan. And the Holy Spirit, well, I had different ideas. Best made plans of mice and men. So what happens is Paul, Silas, and Timothy come across and experience something completely different. Because part of Paul's strategy was whenever he goes into a town, instead of arresting Christians, he'd go to the synagogue and try and convert those who were open to Jesus, or those who were God-fearers, you know, people on the fringe. And even when he was going through all these towns, so you sort of see them all listed, just no success. It was just frustrating. And in the end, they just decide that God must be calling them to Philippi, which is near Macedonia. So probably that far in off the edge of the map. And when they get there, they still try and go to the synagogue. It's just nothing works. Plan A, B, C, and D are all falling over. What is he going to do? So in frustration, desperation, or despair, the three of them go down to the river. And there, you know, it's a Sabbath, so really that people should be praying. And maybe the women were washing, maybe they weren't. Maybe, you know, I don't think it was an early women's fellowship prayer meeting. So it's probably a little bit early. But there was some sort of connection as this group of women are there. Now, these women are Gentiles. They're not even Jewish women. And Jewish men have enough trouble speaking to Jewish women, let alone Gentile women, which is, we're all Gentiles, non-Jews. And so somehow a conversation occurs. And it's just amazing because it's really unheard of. And what I like about the Bible is it records all manner of things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like if I was writing a biography of my life, there's lots of stuff I'd leave out. But when you read the Bible, there's lots of stuff they leave in. You think, man, I wouldn't have left that in. And here, Paul talks to all these women. And what is really amazing is he doesn't simply talk to them, but, oh, how's the washing going? And that looks like a nice color. He starts to talk to them about Jesus. And somehow these God-fearers get open to a message. And there's one particular woman called Lydia who is a merchant in purple cloth. And kudos to those who are wearing purple today. Well done. So it's really like this wealthy woman, a merchant, responds to the message that Paul is talking about. And this is what Luke accounts. This is Luke writes up the account, and this is how he records it. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, this woman is obviously wealthy, but what is really amazing that Paul is stepping beyond the frames of what he would normally be comfortable with. Like he's doing something that he really wouldn't normally be comfortable with. And so he's learning to step out and do things differently. And Lydia, we think, may be one of the first converts in Europe. She might have been actually one of the initial individuals who made it possible for the Christian faith to grow and spread in Europe. Now, this is the only time we hear about Lydia. It's like one or two scripture sentences. There's no record of her in any of the church history, you know. So it's, but this woman actually had a foundational role in transforming the whole of Europe. From little things, big things grow. Now we never would have picked that. So it's just an amazing thing, and it's a big shift because Paul would never have considered talking to this person. But because he did, things changed. Now, next slide, I want to do a little bit of think time. I want to ask you a question. Who is the most unlikely person you have ever spoken to? Like someone that, you know, surprised you, having a conversation in the supermarket down the street. I mean, who is the most, discounting someone who's sitting next to you maybe, I don't know. I'm not including Paul Power or Crow's people. So who is the most unlikely person you can ever think of talking to? Or what type of person would you normally avoid? Are you clear on that? So I've got three photos I'm going to show up here just for your reflection. maybe you would feel very comfortable with this family. I don't know. Maybe this is a family you would avoid. Matching curtains. Who would ever speak to someone with matching curtains? Or maybe you'd be like this grandma. Maybe she would never speak to the punks, or maybe the punks would never speak to grandma. I don't know. Who would you avoid? Or maybe younger people from different religions. I don't know. Who would you struggle? So turn to the person next to you if you've got someone nearby. If you haven't, just talk to yourself and I won't think you're crazy. But who can you pick someone that maybe you would feel uncomfortable talking to? Or someone you've been surprised you're talking to? Just, I don't know where you want to go with this. Just turn, start talking, see what happens. All right? You got 20 seconds. I'm counting. Same for you at home. Well, I gave you a very generous 20 seconds. You'd probably want to buy land off of me. So, all right. Anybody want to share from their experience? Who would like to just put their hand up and say, well, the most unusual encounter I had was with... Anybody game? Yeah.
I was volunteering for West Church.
Yep.
And I got there on Tuesday to talk to people. And I spoke to this person for about half an hour. He told me he'd been murdered.
Oh,
and it wasn't too dead later. I realized he was at everything. Because
okay, so there's met someone who had committed a crime and it was just so immersive in the story, and then days later you realised he was Aboriginal. So you didn't even connect anything else but the story. That's actually a really wonderful segue, because what made it possible to have that connection was your willingness to listen, wasn't it? There was a sense of compassion. It was like you almost got caught up. So the normal visuals just got lost, and it was just like, and I think that's really a wonderful example of what I think the Holy Spirit, or what faith invites us to do as Christians, because it's like when we look back over the different weeks, we've been talking about that heart, that compassion. People don't want to hear how much you love them, they want to see it, you know, that variation of a quote I've totally mangled, but you know, that sense of compassion is that bridges us. And I think one of the problems as Christians, one of the challenges we have is, like this next slide, I came across this quote during the week and I thought, wow, it's really a powerful one. Where Christians begin to veer into dangerous territory is when we overstate our certainty to the point where it becomes hard, closed, and cruel. Brian Zann notes that certitude can be an incubator for cruelty. Perceived infallibility can lead to brutality. Now, the person who wrote this quote was Kerry Newhoff, who's a blogger from Canada with millions of people, and he said, at your moments of greatest certainty, you have the propensity to be the most dismissive, rude, inhuman, and yes, cruel. Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things about our journey in faith is we have a truth, don't we? We are confident in our truth. But if I'm wanting to talk to you, the last thing you want is for me to smack you with that truth, hit you with that truth, elbow you with that truth, Liverpool kiss you with that truth. We need to build a bridge to the lives of others. Compassion absorbs us in their story and their narrative to the point where we make a bridge, where we make a connection. Mate, do you need a hand? Hey, how's it going? Some beautiful, simple stuff. And I don't know, there might be times in your life when you can think of someone just caring for you in a way that surprised you and lifted you up. Because without that care, we just got no capacity to talk to someone, really. We don't have a mandate to share the gospel unless we are able to live it and express it with compassion and care. I've been smacked enough times by Christians trying to convert me. I've got this friend called Jesus, you know? I mean, Jesus. So I guess part of the invitation we're really reflecting on is that in a journey, when we're endeavoring to step out and explore stuff, we need to also be aware that part of that is connected in that love and compassion. And again, one of the things I like about Paul the Christian versus Saul the Pharisee, when Paul was Saul, he was trying to kill people to convince them of the truth. When he became a Christian, he was sharing the good news. We have to be the good news. So, where am I going with this? I hear you say. Well, I think if my music stand is a metaphor for my time is up, I should have been finished 10 minutes ago. But look, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, aren't we? And we're talking about Paul's journey through Asia and Europe and being surprised by all these things that happen. And that's the same for us. One of the things we are reminded as we come towards Pentecost is that God's Spirit is alive in the world, beyond the walls of the church. Alive, vibrant. I came across a quote which is really quite a nice one. The world God is calling us into isn't one that will be shaped by efforts to fix, renew, or reform the churches we've known. It is about learning to join with God in the ferment and bubbling within, which we cannot be in control. There's another quote which talked about the Holy Spirit being a fermenter, you know, like changing things up and beyond the walls. And what this quote's really saying is, hey, just like 2,000 years ago, we too need to be surprised by what God's doing beyond the walls. And part of that is when we connect with others. I mean, we don't really know who the next Lydia we're going to bump into, do we? There are Lydias all in this community, around us, next door neighbor, in your family. Oh, I don't know. You know, we just don't quite know, do we? Who are those Lydias in our lives? Who are those Lydias we experience down at the garage when we get in a car serviced, waiting for the tires to be changed, and we're sitting in the room with some other random smelly tradesman? I don't know. Not that all tradesmen are smelly, I'm sorry, or random. You know what I mean? But it's like, so when we are on the way, all of our life is the way. All of our experiences are part of the way. And it's part of that connecting with others that is a part of their way. So we might be shaping and influencing and planting a seed. And, I don't know. I was talking to David Mack during the weekend. I said, you know, I feel like my life is a little bit like, you know, have you... You would understand this metaphor. You know, when you have a roadmap, you know, you pull your roadmap out. Our generation, your generation, has roadmaps. Dave's thinking, man, I've got my little phone app here. I just press go and it tells me. But when I had a map, sometimes the map would say, what did I actually, how did I phrase that? No, that's the wrong page. Oh, at edge of known map. You know how you get to the map? At edge of known map. I feel I'm a little bit like at edge of known map. What is ahead? I don't know, to be honest. My plan A, B, C's, I think I'm down at plan F. Just, you know, what I thought we'd be doing in the 5 years I was here is really different because of this thing called COVID and all this other stuff. And I think it's a bit like us as a church. You know, there's a sense in which, you know, we're stepping under into the unknown, to be honest. And one of the things that gives me courage is the Holy Spirit is already in the unknown. We just need to start trying to connect it in. So, in your week, I hope you bump into a Lydia. That'd be very funny if someone's name was Lydia. That'll give you a real bit of focus, won't you? but again, it's like the invite. Don't simply dismiss that somehow... God is at work only in people who are our age and our appearance and that sort of stuff. All right, I'll give you a moment to think. What are you taking home? from today? What is one thing you're taking away from today? You can talk to the person next to you if you like. Let me share a prayer with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Your Holy Spirit is at work in the world. We pray that we bump into someone who just needs a hand this week. Someone who might, we might make a difference to them, or who might make a difference to us. May we also be able to receive as much as we give. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for the gifts that your Spirit stirs in the world. Amen.
My takeaway today, although David didn't say it in as many words, but I'm reminded of it. It's an ongoing challenge for me, is to be able to see Christ in every person I see, without exception, no exceptions. That's a huge challenge. But I don't give up on it, because God hasn't given up on me. Just a reminder that we still have a prayer ministry after the service. If you would like prayer for whatever reason, then just wander down the front and someone will absolutely pray with you and for you. And I just want to finish with saying how nice it is to have David back there playing the drums for us again this morning. Let's stand and sing.
Because of you, oh, we'll
Go in peace to serve the Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Don't forget, wear something red next week. Okay, ciao.
Because of you.
Because of you. Because of your love. Because of your blood. All our sins are washed away. And we can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you. Oh, we'll see you face to face. And we will dance together in the city of our God. Because of you. In the city of our God. Because of you. City of our God, because of you.